Blog Talk Radio.
Official theme song.
Michael Ferrante and Spearhead, yell fire. Revolution never come with a warning. Revolution never send you an omen. So you never know what's going to spark the thought revolution, right? And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about guns and stuff like that. We're talking about thought revolution. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Start seeing things for what they really are, and then organizing, agitating and demonstrating and being civilly disobedient against the man to get the changes that you want to see in this life or the life of your children or their children's children, just making the world a better place. So it is a Bingo with the Bear show. Yeah, I got a late start. Had a little difficulty logging in. I'd like to blame it on the beer. Or I'd like to blame it on BTR. I don't know. It just didn't work for a while, and I got on maybe 5 minutes late. So anyway, welcome to the show. Calls, clips, and commentary for the lefty leftists among us, and really for everybody, even those that are apolitical who are just kind of trying to figure things out and listening to different perspectives. Or, I don't know, maybe you're a liberal and you thought this was a progressive show and I was going to, you know, suck up to Obama and rag on the conservatives. Well, not so much, but you're welcome to hang out here and listen to what I've got for you tonight. As I said, it's calls, clips, and commentary tonight, maybe less commentary and more clips. I'm not feeling my best. I just got done with a 52-hour work week, and then last night I was DJing at my friend's bar and hanging out with a friend, and afterwards. And anyway, I'm not as sharp as I normally am, but that's okay. Hey, it's late, right? It's midnight, terrific Pacific time. Time for all good vampires to wake up and listen to the Pinko the Bear show. So tonight I got a bunch of stuff. I've got clips from Lee Camp, leekamp.net, his Moment of Clarity, a little bit on anarchism, just kind of an anarchism 101 kind of thing. Maybe some Glenn Greenwald on Bill Maher, just eviscerated Bill Maher. What a sycophant that mother is. A new one from Rap News. I love it. I love it. You will too. Maybe some TYT, the Young Turks on the NSA and PRISM. I don't know. There's just all sorts of stuff. A couple of songs that I just want to play because I like the songs. Because we don't have commercials because, well, it's an anti-capitalist kind of show. Lefty, left is here, candy for the choir. Yeah, nobody wants to sponsor the show. That's okay. I do it for the love, and I do it because, I don't know, you pitch in where you fit in, right? And I happen to have a microphone. A couple of things I want to mention. The Pinko the Bear show is brought to you on Here Be Monsters. The show is Here Be Monsters, hosted by Gwendolyn Berry, and she was nice enough to give me one night a week a couple hours. So I no longer am paying for my own account, where I used to do five nights a week. I'm only doing one night a week for 2 hours and borrowing her time on Here Be Monsters. Check out. She's got several different shows with different topics. Check her out. Also, she and I, Pinko the Bear Show and Here Be Monsters, are part of the Commons Project Network. One word, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. We are adding more and more content. We've got 4, 5, 6 shows over there, all of the lefty leftist perspective. There's AWOP Radio with Kim G. There's David Williams put together the website for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He writes over at Roundtree 7. Most of the folks are from Roundtree 7. It's a blog. You can find it, Roundtree 7, the number 7. But we thought we'd put together a hub, a lefty leftist hub, kind of an aggregator of lefty shows. So you didn't, just kind of a one-stop shopping thing. So we just started it, and there's about 7 of us. Ash, the Authority Smashing Hour, with Zenu or Derek. What else? Who else do we have? Oh, Ruth Ann of Air Armor. Always kill your name. Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann Show. Air Armada. I can't say your name. I told you I wasn't feeling good tonight. Horrible, horrible, bad. I've only known you 3 years, right? And I still can't say your name. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Maybe I should just start playing clips. I just tell you what. But anyway, I just wanted everybody to know about the TCPN, the Commons Project Network.com. And we're getting it together as we go. And hopefully, and if you know any shows from the leftist kind of perspective that you think should be on there, let us know and we'll take a look at them and listen to them and give. Oh, Worldwide Hippies is another one, of course. Worldwide Hippies with Woody and Joe McAvoy. But anyway, so we'd like to add more content, kind of a one-stop shopping place for you, the CommonsProjectNetwork.org. Yeah. You know what I think? I just want to start with Lee Camp, man. Just because I like him and he's funny and he's smart. And if you don't know Lee, he's a comedian, stand-up comedian, and he's got a comedy album out. He's also you can find him at LeeCamp.net. And maybe I'm gonna save that one. It's really good. I'm gonna save that one. But I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at my board and it hasn't processed. I just uploaded it and it hasn't processed all the way. Yeah, I got a late start. So where are we gonna start today, kids? I don't know. I found this little tidbit the other day, and I posted it on my personal wall. I don't think I posted it on the Pinko wall. I have a Pinko the Bear page. Pinko the Bear Show page on Facebook and a personal page. I think I posted this on my personal page. Because a lot of people are confused about anarchism, what it is, what it isn't. Of course, they're confused about socialism, what it is, what it isn't. A lot of misconceptions. And I found this video somebody put out, and it's about 7 minutes, and it's really anarchism 101. And it's a computer-generated voice, so it may not be the most pleasant thing in the world, but hey, it's not my voice, right? And let's just listen to this, and I don't know, let's throw it out there. Like I said, tonight will be a little clip-heavy. It is Pinko the Bear Show. Check this one out. You're going to like this.
This is anarchism in 10 minutes. In order to understand anarchism, the first thing we're going to do is to point out where anarchism would be located on the political scale. This is the commonly used scale of economic left and right. But there's also another dimension to it. This political scale shows not only economic left and right, but also social authoritarian and libertarian. This leaves us with roughly four fields on the scale: the authoritarian left, the authoritarian right, the libertarian right, and the libertarian left, which is the one we'll be focusing on in this video, as this is where we'll find the anarchist ideology. In order to understand how this scale works, we can for example see that Barack Obama and John McCain both are found in the authoritarian right field, while, for example, Ralph Nader would be found in the libertarian left field. Near the authoritarian limit, we find Adolf Hitler, while Milton Friedman would be in the libertarian right field and Joseph Stalin in the upper authoritarian left field. It is on the very bottom of this scale that we find anarchism and anarcho-capitalism.
Yay!
Anarchism is one out of two ideologies categorized under libertarian socialism,
yay,
where one is syndicalism or anarcho-syndicalism, which rather than being an actual ideology, more is a practice of labor union organization. The other ideology being anarchism. Anarchists strive to abolish both the state and capitalism, as anarchists see the state as a capitalist institution, an institution whose primary goal is to uphold a class society, that is, the power of the corporate and political elite over the masses. Anarchists do acknowledge, though, that the state sometimes will be pushed to act against the direct interest of the elite. For instance, through financing healthcare, dental care, or upholding the laws of 8 hours working day, which is in the direct interest of the masses. But anarchists knows that a government with power of providing these things also has the power of taking them away,
and thus,
anarchists don't rely on the promise that the state will be just, a fact that anarchists often has experienced at first hand. For instance, in Chicago, the 1st of May 1886, anarchists on strike demonstrated demanding the right to 8 hours working day. At Haymarket Square, they were met by 200 armed policemen, where suddenly an explosion is heard from a side street. In the following chaos, police and anarchists started shooting at each other. 7 cops and 21 anarchist workers were injured. 8 anarchists and strike leaders were arrested on the suspect of having created the bomb that caused the explosion. 4 of them were hanged, 1 committed suicide in jail. The punishment of 2 were reduced to life in prison. A few years later, courts found that the sentenced anarchists, in fact, all were innocent, and the three remaining survivors were released. This day has come to be remembered as the Haymarket Massacre, and the reason the 1st of May still is celebrated as the International Workers' Day. The most common symbol for anarchism is the circled A. Few knows that the origin of this symbol comes from Pierre Joseph Proudhon, who said that anarchy is order.
Right.
The A stands for anarchy, and the circle stands for order. The goal of anarchism is what Karl Marx decided to call communism. I know what you're thinking. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Marx said that the definition of communism is a state and class-free society. That is, a society where power is dealt equally and where there is no government. Anarchists of the time agreed that it seemed like a fair goal, but anarchists could not agree with the communists on how this goal would be achieved. Anarchist Mikhail Bakunin argued that the state should be abolished. Meanwhile, Marx preferred a big government to ensure the continuing development of what he claimed eventually would lead to this state and class-free society. It comes as little surprise that Marx and Bakunin could not agree, and eventually the anarchists were thrown out of the First International. This dispute between communists and anarchists has lasted till this day. Marx argued that the anarchist Paris Commune could not defend itself from the outside enemy. And when Vladimir Lenin eventually took power of the Russian Revolution and declared himself the dictator, this would only bring fuel to the flames of this dispute. And during a speech, female anarchist Fanny Kaplan fired 3 bullets towards the dictator. Kaplan was of course tortured and put to death by the regime. The Soviet regime would make sure to beat down anarchist uprisings, often using the Red Army for this. Although being a socialist ideology, anarchism should not be confused with what we usually think of when talking about socialism.
Right.
In libertarian socialism, government is not a representative of the people. People represent themselves.
Yeah, baby!
Anarchy comes from the Greek anarchos, which translates without ruler, which does not mean without rules. It is a common misconception that there are no rules in an anarchist society. Anarchists consider a ruler to be a person who stands above the law. It would be naive to think that, for instance, a government guilty of war crimes ever could be prosecuted as war criminals, as they stand above the courts in the hierarchy of power. Anarchists also believe in equality. This does not mean that everyone should own an equal amount of things. For instance, if you like to collect old cars, and I like to collect video games, it would make no sense that I was given half of your garage. Instead, this rather means that everyone is entitled to an equal amount of power in the society. The anarchist society is dependent on participation. Without participation, the anarchist society would not be able to exist. This can be done through direct democracy. Yes, the people themselves even make the laws, and therefore it is impossible to say exactly how an anarchist version of a constitution would look like, since it would be completely dependent on the people of the society.
Exactly.
An example of this is the Danish town of Christiania, whose highest authority is the Grand Meeting, where all people are welcome to participate. The town does not allow cops and has 4 rules: no heavy drugs, no weapons, no violence, and no trade with buildings or apartments. In the Spanish Revolution, where 10 million people participated, many anarchist collectives even practiced currency-free economies. Liberals argue that the state possesses an illegit form of power. Anarchists agree to this. Communists argue that landlords and owners of the production possess an illegit form of power. Anarchists also agree to this. Anarchists are, however, the only ones to demand full power to the people themselves. Eventually, we reach the unavoidable question: can you guarantee that it works? And no, of course not. But this is the true beauty of an anarchist society, as in case it wouldn't work, if it turned out to be a complete disaster, the people could simply vote away the anarchist system, and overnight it would have ceased to exist. And that is probably the best thing about an anarchist society.
And I don't care who wants to say, 'cause I believe.
show. Tonight's show is brought to you by the letter A, which stands for anarchy, with a big fucking circle around it, which stands for order. Anarchy does not mean chaos, okay? Cats and dogs living together. No. Order, order. Democracy, direct democracy. Anarchy without rulers, folks. Who needs a ruler? No, I think people can rule themselves. And that doesn't mean that anarchy. Oh, you don't have any rules. No rulers. No rulers, no kings, no queens, no despots, no dictators, no presidents. We become despots and dictators, don't they? We're going to talk about that later with the NSA. It's without rulers, not without rules. Society decides on the rules. You know, I like my roads paved. I like water, sewage. I like the sewage system. I like things to work. I like stoplights that go, you know, red or green, yellow, red. You know, so society will figure it out. We just get the rulers out of the way. Yeah, anarchy stands for equality. Again, not that everybody has an equal amount of stuff. Okay, it's that everybody has an equal amount of power. Everybody has an equal say in how they want to create their society. So anyway, that's a little film. Like, I got it off of YouTube. That was the audio portion. The interesting thing that he started with the political compass, and if you go to politicalcompass.org or politicalcompass.com, I'm not sure which, you can take the test there. It's like 65 questions. They ask the same, you know, five or six questions in several different ways. Take the test and think about everything before you answer it. Think about it well. Think it through and answer it, and it'll show you where you are on the political spectrum right now. As your answers change, as you evolve, as you learn more, you will obviously change in your little dot. There's four quadrants: upper left, upper right, lower left, lower right. And really, everybody that runs for office is in the upper right, kind of authoritarian, less liberty and more authoritarian. And on the right, more socially, socially with it, and on the left, a little more repressive socially. But anything above the middle line is authoritarian, and you're going to find that all the politicos are authoritarian. All the operatives, all the think tankers, all the folks that run for office. And, I'm just not a fan of authority. I don't respect your authority, and I don't... I don't respect anything about people who would like to rule over other people. And then on the left, or excuse me, on the bottom of the four quadrants at the political compass test, which he used in this film on YouTube. And if you want to Google it, well, just Anarchism in 10 Minutes is the title. You'll find it. And on the left is left libertarians and right libertarians. And right libertarians we might refer to as, in America, just plain old libertarians. This is the, hate government, lower taxes, don't tread on me, Ayn Randian, teabagger crowd. And then on the lower left, instead of the lower right, you've got the left libertarians, the people who really, I think, understand things and get it and work towards getting it for everyone else. And, my dot actually is on the bottom line, the very bottom line, the most libertarian. And then the first column on the left. So as far as left libertarian as you can possibly get. I've taken the test, eight times in 5 years, and it never changes. But it is interesting. We can all, if you're listening to the show and you're like, "Whoa, that's extreme. You should be in the middle." No. This isn't a thing that shows you where you should be. It just shows you where you are. And you can make up your mind. Do you want a Stalin? Do you want a Hitler? Do you really want a McCain or an Obama? You make up your own mind. If you're an authoritarian and you need somebody to be, ruling over you, well, that's where you are right now. maybe you'll learn more and experience more and move to the left and down and to the left on the political compass. All right, so what's up next? I did make some notes here because I've got a lot of different clips. I want to go to Glenn Greenwald. If it's loaded, let me check my... See, this is do-it-yourself radio. I have no producer. I'm just sitting here with a 12-pack, a PBR, some Alka-Seltzer, some hand-rolled cigarettes, a $100 microphone, a nice Mac laptop, and an internet connection. Do-it-yourself radio. So I've got a Glenn Greenwald clip. It's very short. It's only 2 minutes. He was on Bill Maher. Now, I quit watching. I was a fan of Bill Maher for years when I was a liberal. Because basically, the liberal media will always tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you how bad the conservatives are. And it's true. They're fascists. They're just horrible, horrible people. I mean, their dogs might love them. Their family loves them. I get that. But they're just their ideology is just ridiculous, and they're just heartless little tools. And so for years, I'd listen to liberal talk radio or liberal shows like Bill Maher, watch his show, and I loved it because he got me, man. He got me upset about how screwed up the teabaggers were and how screwed up the conservatives were, and he made all these great points about their hypocrisy, and he still does. He still does. But Bill Maher is a tool. He gave $1 million to Barack Obama's reelection campaign, and that was the last that's when I just quit completely. So I'm not watching anymore. I'd started missing some of his shows because it wasn't that important because it was so predictable. Never critiquing the administration, never critiquing the empire, never critiquing capitalism. And if you don't critique imperialism and capitalism, and you're on the TV machine and you're getting the big bucks, well, you probably can't because you'd lose your show. But the man is insufferable, incorrigible. He, $1 million to Obama, the same man who's killing innocent women, men and children with drone strikes, terrorizing the fucking world. By the way, F-bombs might drop, but F-bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people. So hide away the children if they've never heard the F-word. I'll try not to do it too much. But he had Glenn Greenwald on, and they were talking about NSA program PRISM and spying and such. And he's just such a smarmy little shit that thinks that all the Arabs are – all the Muslims are out to get us. And he's just a – Oh, anyway, we'll listen to this. This is Glenn on Bill Maher, and I think Glenn tears him apart.
We didn't go into Egypt.
Well, we
wound up with the Muslim Brotherhood.
We didn't go into Egypt. We were supporting and propping up Mubarak for 30 years, even as we were cheering for all the Tahrir Square demonstrators as though we were on their side. It was our government that kept Mubarak in power, just like we've done across the entire Muslim world. And it's amazing for you to say that, well, look at all these Muslims. The minute you give them a little bit of freedom, they go wild and they start being all violent. How can you be a citizen of the United States, the country that has generated more violence and militarism in the world over the last 5 or 6 decades, and say, look at those people over there, they are incredibly violent? We play a significant role in what has been happening in the Middle East because we've been interfering and dominating that region in order to have access to the oil.
I wasn't talking about
Israel,
violence. I was talking about theocracy. That doesn't happen here.
No, well, okay, that doesn't happen here, but at the same time, Iran isn't invading lots of other countries and occupying them for a decade, nor are fundamentalist Muslim countries the way the United States is. So these things are interlinked because we are continuously interfering in that part of the world. And so to say...
Really, it's all our fault?
It's not all our fault, but when you send your military for 6 straight decades into other countries to bomb them, kill their children and women and innocent men, prop up dictators, you take responsibility for your actions and say, to the extent of that region...
That religion goes back 1,000 years before our revolution, so I don't think we can take all the blame.
I don't think we should. I think we should take a lot of it. And there's lots of bodies and corpses that have been piled up in the name of Christianity and Judaism as well.
Not recently.
Have you heard of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for the last 50 years, motivated in part by extremist views of Judaism or the wars in Europe or the fact that there were generals in the United States saying we have to go and invade and destroy Iraq, a country of 26 million people, because our God is bigger? Lots of religions, not just Islam, produce violence.
Well, if I could make one quick point about Egypt.
That silly liberal view that all religions are alike. because it makes you feel good.
No, it makes you feel good
true.
To say our side is better. The
no,
people
it makes
over
you feel good to put a crown on
USA,
your head and say, I'm
USA,
a good person.
USA,
how do I feel that?
You get to ignore the responsibility that your own government has for the violence and instability in the world by saying, look, it's that primitive religion over there that's to blame.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's ever going to be invited back. I mean, he's made the rounds since this Snowden case blew up. And he's made the rounds on MSNBC and Fox Business. He's been everywhere. He's been all over. And I played a couple clips last week, and I meant to get to that one last week, but I didn't. But I wonder if Glenn will be invited back on these programs because he's way too smart, way too well-informed, way too articulate. And he just destroys whoever whoever's trying to make an argument in favor of prosecuting Snowden or killing all the Muslims or, you know, whatever the empire is doing. Greenwald is on it, and I really, really, really like him. I've got high hopes for him in the next in the coming years and decades. We're not going to have Chomsky around forever, right? Or Hedges, for that matter. Anyway. You know, Bill Maher, and I know there's a lot of fans. He's got a lot of fans, and I get it. And when people used to criticize him to me, my far lefty friends, I didn't quite understand it, and I didn't quite get it, and I get it now. So if you don't get it, just think about this. So Bill Maher is talking about, you know, Iran. Well, it's a theocracy by God. Well, you know, Iran hasn't attacked anybody in a couple of hundred years. There's a great graphic that goes around, it's a meme, internet meme that's on it's on Facebook. You see it all the time. It's always being recycled. And it has a list of countries that the United States has invaded, occupied, bombed, or sent money and military training, covert ops, or backing death squads, meddling in other countries' affairs. And it's a huge list. From day one, a huge list. It's ridiculous. But Iran, no, they didn't invade anybody else. They're not trying to make everybody else a theocracy like they are. They're not trying to do that. So they got in a war with Iraq, in the 80s? But they were attacked by Iraq on behalf of the United States. Because that's when Saddam was our friend, see? Hey, go ahead and attack Iran for us, Saddam, and we'll give you some chemical weapons that you can kill the Kurdish people, your people, with. We won't say anything until maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 years later when we want to get rid of you. But, Bill Maher's so full of shit. He's just so full of logical fallacies, man. And if you don't know what a logical fallacy is, just Google it. And there's a great website, I don't know, knowyourlogicalfallacies.com.org. I don't know, just Google it, use the machine. If I had a producer, I'd have it. But anyway, and there's, I don't know, at least 12, there might be 24 of them, but just in that little segment, he employed several of the logical fallacies. And this is what losers do when they can't really argue their point. And so what do? They offer some black and white thinking. It's either or. Same kind of crap Bush did. Either you're with us or you're against us. It's either all of this or all of that. Black and white thinking. Changing the subject. He did that. Tried to do that a couple of times. False equivalency happens all the time with Bill Maher and other losers who can't really argue their position from fact. And this is what they do. But Greenwald is, he's, anyway, I thought he nailed it, and I thought I'd share that with you. All right, folks, it is time for rap news, because, you know, we don't have enough intelligent hip-hop on the, that talks about what's going on in the world politically. So here it is, rap news, the episode Whistleblower. I hope you like it. I know I do.
Good afternoon, viewers. Thank you for clicking through to view this exclusive brand new edition of Juice Rap News, back through with the global transmission with your host Robert Foster. And we're glad to begin by introducing this routine interview scheduled today with our regular U.S. guest, now director of the NSA, General Baxter.
Huh.
Can you provide via satellite an update on the state of the empire?
Bob, I have to confide.
I'm satisfied. In fact, I got no axe to grind. Our Nobel Peace Prize President Mastermind has a healthy appetite for sending drones to smash the lives of brown children. Muslims. I mean terrorist hoodlums. Egregious.
Goddamn right we agree it's just. Every American will feel hot pangs of pride when they hear of this. But guess what I'm most excited about this finally happening?
What?
The court-martial of Private Bradley Manning. 3 years without trial and a touch of torture. That's how we punish dissent in the free world order. After this, no one will dare blow whistles or leak intel or question our right to read every single freaking email.
Oops. Did you just say you read everyone's emails?
But emails? No, we don't read, scan, track, record, and store every detail.
At all?
No, sir. Not wittingly. Perhaps a few billion emails accidentally.
Okay, General. We're just getting sent a signal. It's the fearless journalist Crusader, direct from Rio, the guardian of civil liberties, Sir Glenn Greenwald.
Robert, hello.
Hi, Glenn. What quest are you and your steed on?
A hero has leaked classified documents, finally proving that the NSA has secretly obtained access directly to all the servers of Facebook, Apple, Yahoo, YouTube, Skype, and Google. This prism system for spying on users from the dark side of the moon will record everything that arrives on screens, emails, chats, Grindr feed. Robert, it took great courage from this whistleblower to decide to leak. They've taken a great risk in getting us, their fellow citizens, this critical glimpse into what is really happening behind the scenes.
Mark Zuckerberg, your position?
Word, sit back, listen. You're rocking with Zuckerberg, fucking nerd tactician.
So, prism?
What's that, prism? Never even heard of that system. Yeah, we got a program running, but we call it fascism.
Do your users like that?
A billion likes, cousin, and if you dislike something, here's my dislike button. I'm in charge, you fucking turds. Interview's over, finished, ended. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO, bitches, unfriended.
Okay then, General, would you like to make a statement?
I'm disgusted.
You are? That's amazing.
I had no idea that this could occur. It's devastating.
Shocking. I concur. So will there be an investigation?
You betcha. We're gonna get those who broke their oath to the law.
Wonderful.
And hold them responsible. This has gone too far.
I think the whole world feels the same.
Call Gitmo! I'm personally gonna torture whoever leaked all this info.
Wait, what?
We've become a freaking culture of leaks. What if every uppity geek who happens not to agree with the state tyranny decided to expose it to all and sundry?
That might lead to a revolution.
Indeed. See what I mean?
Look, we welcome this debate openly. Free speech is sanctified. Okay then, does the NSA keep...
Sorry, that's classified.
So what are the laws for the...
Access denied.
Well, how can we see...
Oops, debate time has expired.
Hold on. We're picking up another feed, this time from Hong Kong.
Glenn? It's me again. I got an update on what's going on.
Greenwald, we're gonna prosecute you for reason. I mean treason.
Your threats are no match for my shield, and you'll cower under the weight of words when I'm wielding my pen sword. By the power of Greenwald!
Did you have an update for the people?
Oh yeah. Now, world, meet the brave leaker Edward Snowden. He's made a video to reveal his motives for whistleblowing. What's up, Edward?
Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Me one big up the outstep of them Ellsberg and Manning, you know what I'm saying, eh?
Yo, Snowden, they're gonna come around here looking for you today.
Word?
Word. Busted.
Whistleblowers, you know the Eddie Snowden, them go blame. By leaking secrets out, the men that say are saying Eddie Snowden done betrayed the USA. By leaking secrets out, whistleblowers, you know the Eddie Snowden, them go blame. By leaking secrets out, the men that say are saying Eddie Snowden done betrayed the USA. By leaking secrets out, we're gonna find the men that are down in Hawaii. Finding the Mr. Baby, they're not B.I.B. But the Babylon will fire upon the civil liberty. To me decide, betray me safety. For the sake of defense, allow me citizen privacy. If you see something, say something, follow me and be. Whistleblowers, you know the Eddie Snowden, them go blame. But leaking secrets out, the men that say are saying Eddie Snowden done betrayed the USA. But leaking secrets out.
Well, dear viewers, that's about it for this edition. But it wouldn't be complete without some final questions. Whistleblowers, they leak in the public interest. Now what remains to be known is the public interested? If so, this might be a good day to exhibit it. Ignorance is a choice in the age of the internet. Many consider this all very bewildering. Some praise these acts as heroic, worthy of mimicking. Others condemn them as illegal and prohibited. But can't both be equally applicative? To be good humans, we're sometimes called upon to be bad citizens. Some nations were even born by breaking laws of the tyrannous. Do you support heroes from days of yore, who in order to cause reforms disobey the law? Then what about those in the present, who heed the same call? This is Robert Foster for Rap News. Good day to you all.
Robert Foster for Rap News. Hello, world. like it a lot. That's why I shared it with you. If you haven't subscribed to Rap News, do so. Just go onto YouTube, look for Rap News, Robert Foster. You'll find it. And the man is on it. He's on it. He's on it like Lee Camp is on it. Different styles, different ways. One does stand-up, and one does rap. And the videos are great as well. But, yeah, I mean, really, you know, these people and the left, what the supposed left, the liberals in this country, are all over Snowden. He's a traitor, and, you know, they're backing Obama. You know, if Bush did this stuff, they would be outraged. Outraged. You know, Bill Maher, getting back to him, he does a segment called In the Bubble, the conservative bubble, and, you know, puts a guy, you know, in a chair in this big plastic bubble, and he yells at him and says truthy stuff about how messed up the conservatives are. And the conservatives obviously can't hear them because they live in a bubble. They listen to Limbaugh and Hannity and Fox, and, you know, they just don't ever want any information entering their brains because it would cause too much cognitive dissonance, pain, you know, to rethink their positions or to admit that they'd been wrong all those years. And but I submit that the liberals live in a bubble too. Bill Maher lives in a bubble. Arianna Huffington lives in a bubble. All those assholes over on MSNBC live in a bubble, and they're not trying to hear anything about the empire and about the war crimes of the current administration, because, you know, they've chosen a team. It's like they, you know, you choose a sports team. I'm for the Steelers, I'm for the Cowboys. Well, you know, maybe the Cowboys suck this year, and but you're still rooting for them, even though, you know, a bunch of them are going to prison for rape and whatever, DUIs or beating their wives or whatever it is. No, I'm still behind the Cowboys. They're my team. No, you know, this is how the political process works on the TV machine, and it affects so many people, and they just buy into it, and they choose a team, red or blue, and they stick with it no matter how much their team sucks. And they buy into the propaganda that the other team sucks more and that their team is righteous. And anyway, I like the way Foster brings that out, and I really like what he said at the end. It's like, look, So maybe he broke the law. Well, big freaking deal. You know, what about other lawbreakers? What about, oh, I don't know, the folks who broke the King's Law back in the late 1700s, and we had a little revolution here in our country to get out from under the King of England. You know, how about that? Where do you draw the line? I mean, I draw the line when the president starts killing American citizens without a trial. I mean, there's nothing clearer. I mean, there's a whole long list of things, but I've done that on past shows. I don't want to go through them all again. But you know, we got to start paying attention. And just because something is illegal doesn't make it right. And just because somebody is technically, you know, a criminal doesn't make them a bad person and doesn't make what they did bad. You know, resistance to unjust laws is righteousness. It's moral. You know, the United States is the greatest purveyor of violence that the world has ever seen. I mean, hell, even 30, 40 years ago, probably 40 years ago now, Martin Luther King Jr. said that out loud in a speech in public. Of course, he got assassinated. But resistance is necessary. Otherwise, the rulers will continue to rule, and they don't rule in our interest. They rule in the interests of the moneyed class, the billionaires and the killionaires of the world. And so this whole well, my team's got problems, but that team's even worse. Well, you know what? If in our personal lives. I was going to paraphrase this. Let me just read it. This is we'll let Facebook be doing my show tonight, right? I got this. This is a status from Jeff Mincy. I've been reading a lot of his lately, but this is one from last Sunday. He says, if in our personal life we would not propose as a solution to write one bad check instead of two bad checks a month, or spill one glass of red wine on the carpet instead of two glasses of red wine on the carpet, or to be unkind to only one person instead of two, why then, in respect to public policy, why then do we propose to exploit less labor instead of more, or suppress fewer civil liberties and human rights instead of more, or use resources in a less unsustainable way instead of more, or dump less toxic waste instead of more, and wage less war instead of more? Why do we propose only to regulate the imperial capitalist beast rather than to eliminate it? Something for the liberals to think about. And I think while I'm sharing Facebook statuses of some of my friends, Evil Justin Jones, one of the smartest teenagers I've ever, I mean, I don't know how he knows all this stuff at his young age. Probably, Justin, if you're listening, you need to get a social life. I just can't believe you know this much stuff and you can still have time for beer and girls. But I love this. Evil Justin Jones. When I say I'm a socialist, I don't mean that I believe in the ideology or that I support it. I actually participate in it. For those of you who might not know, I work at a co-op. It's a coffee shop, which is totally worker-run. So how does that work? Did I have to apply for the job? Did I have an interview and some complicated process about my education and my experience and my extracurricular activities? No. I walked in and I said, I'd like to work here. And they brought me a clipboard with two sheets of paper, which was the policy that the workers had decided on. The workers, it's a co-op, there are no bosses. So two sheets of paper, the policy that the workers had decided on, and then a calendar. And the calendar is where I filled in how many hours I wanted to work and on which days. How does that sound? No hierarchy, no stupid dress codes, no code of conduct, etc. He says, I get to make decisions in the workplace that matter just as much as anyone else's. And I'm getting paid just as much as I would if I worked at some capitalist institution with a boss. Now, has the place fallen apart, huh? Are people too lazy? Is there complete chaos? No, absolutely fucking not. And I've seen it with my own eyes, and it works. And me and the coworkers around me are about 200 times happier than anyone I've seen working a job for a boss. So please, right-wing assholes and liberals, spare me the crap about socialism being too utopian or some kind of pipe dream or socialism has killed 500 billion people or some asinine shit like that. I want to work in a place like that. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to work in a place like that where you can, where you don't have to submit yourself to some ridiculous interview process where they judge you up and down, where they tell you when to be at work, how long you have to stay, what you have to do when you're there exactly, and hey, you know, how to dress, how to speak, how not to speak. Wouldn't you like a little democracy in your workplace? You know, we claim that we're the freest country in the world, which is bullshit, but people claim that all the time. Yet we voluntarily go into, for 8 hours a day or more, depending on where you're working, but we voluntarily go to work in a tyranny, in a top-down tyranny where you have no say in anything. They give you their schedule. They deny you the days off. Or maybe they give you one here and there. They tell you how you got to dress and how you got to conduct yourself with the customers. It's bullshit. It's tyranny, and it's not democracy, and it's not freedom. I got an idea. How about the people that work in the factories own the factories? They work in the casinos. They own the casinos. They work at the coffee shop. They own the coffee shop. The boss's brain is in the workman's cap. You don't need the bosses. The bosses need you. Think about that one for just a minute. Think about that one. Because you know the bosses, all they want is more. More, more, more. They'll never be satisfied. Oh, you're getting $14 an hour? Sorry, we're going to cut you down to 12. You're getting 12? Oh, sorry, we're going to cut you down to 10. You know what they want? They want a bunch of people coming to work for a dollar a day, $2 a day, like they do in Egypt, like they do in Bangladesh, maybe a dollar an hour, like they do in China. They want a bunch of poor, poor people, basically slaves. That's what they want, because the capitalist wants more. There's no reforming this monster, this monster called capitalism. They want more. Isn't that right, Rocco?
Well, he knows what he wants, don't you, Rocco?
Sure. What's that?
Tell him, Rocco. Well, I want, he wants more, don't you, Rocco?
Yeah, that's it. More. That's right, I want more.
Will you ever get enough? Will you, Rocco?
Well, I never have. No, I guess I won't. You, do you know what you want?
Yes, and I had hopes once, but I gave them up.
Hopes for what?
A world in which there's no place for Johnny Rocco.
Yeah, exactly. Key Largo. Humphrey Bogart. I like it. Rocco wants more, just like the capitalists want more. They won't stop until you're getting $2 an hour, a dollar an hour, until you're a slave again. You're a wage slave right now. Oh, maybe you're making 18, maybe you're making 22, maybe you're doing okay. But look what they're doing to the rest of the world and what they're doing to the other developed nations in the world and what they're going to do here at home with the austerity measures. The downward pressure on wages. Constantly, they're making more and more money. The profits are going through the roof, but your wages remain the same or they go down. Your benefits go down. Productivity goes up. And, you know, for 150 years in this country, productivity went up, wages went up. And then in the 70s, around 1973, productivity kept going up and it started skyrocketing, but wages remained flat. And the difference between productivity and wages is profit. And the profit doesn't go to you. It goes to the bosses. Not your manager, not that boss, but the real bosses, the billionaires and the killionaires of the world. They want more. More money, more money, more money. And they want more power. They want more control of your lives. They want more spying. They want to know what you're doing. They want to know about your phone calls. They want to know about your emails. They want to know about your thoughts. And they're tracking it all through a program called PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. I forgot what it stands for. I don't care. And I got a clip from the Young Turks here. Cenk wants to talk about PRISM, so we'll share this with you right now.
We already know about PRISM. We already know about the expansive spying that the American government is doing to us. Now, in the old days, when the government went to the internet companies and asked for all their data, apparently some inside Microsoft, who had to deal with this all the time, had come up with a word for it. It was called hoovering. Now, it seems that it's named after the vacuum because they're hoovering up all of the data from Microsoft and other companies. Well, it turns out that's not what they named it after. They named it after J. Edgar Hoover, who would collect this information on his opponents and then conveniently use it later to blackmail them. Oh, okay. So don't worry, though. That was in the early days of the Bush, and the companies at the time had fought it to some degree, saying, hey, wait a minute, if you're going to do this, you got to get a court order. I can't just voluntarily give you the information, although they did that for 4 years before they asked for court orders. But nonetheless, they did. So then Bush and Obama went through a series of steps to, quote-unquote, legalize it by getting friendly FISA courts to rubber stamp it, some of which refuse to rubber stamp it anyway. Those constitutional issues will come up later in the court system. And some leaders in the Senate and the House, they showed them the information, said, you can't say anything about it. And those guys said, oh, okay. And then later they said, ha-ha, you didn't say anything about it. Hi, now it's legal. Okay, we ran it by you. Well, it has now become more formalized. And so Associated Press explains in a terrific story. What the NSA called PRISM, the companies knew as a streamlined system that automated and simplified the hoovering from years earlier. So before, they're going to Microsoft and Google and stuff and saying, give me all your data. Now the new system,
including prison Messiah. Step aside, Bush. We've made this a very automated system. We just automatically suck it up. We've got the court orders, so there's nothing you can do about it. To some degree, it doesn't absolve the internet companies, but they are under court orders, so it's the government's fault a lot more than it's the internet company's fault. So now the AP breaks what I think is the most interesting part of this whole NSA spying scandal. They explain interviews with more than a dozen current and former government and technology officials and outside experts show that while PRISM has attracted the recent attention, the program actually is a relatively small part of a much more expansive and intrusive eavesdropping effort.
Oh, no.
Now, remember, PRISM is the one that collects the content of your emails, your web searches, etc. Apparently, that's a small part. This is a giant story by the Associated Press, and Associated Press is not a fly-by-night operation, and they are very, very careful in what they print, okay? So they explain, Americans who disapprove of the government reading their emails have more to worry about from a different and larger NSA effort that snatches data as it passes through the fiber optic cables that make up the internet's backbone. So PRISM is when they go to the companies and they say, all right, now give me your data, right? But they don't even need to go to the companies. They go under the water. It's the fiber optic cables, and they go to the backbone of the internet and hoover up the information in that way. And that's some of the programs we were talking about, whether it's, you know, Nucleon, that's for the phone companies, and Mainway for the phone companies, or Marina and PRISM for the internet programs. So it gets worse. Former U.S. officials familiar with the process say it allows the government to keep the information as long as it is labeled as belonging to an American and stored in a special restricted part of a computer. So they're saying, look, we got the info, but don't worry, we're not using it because it's in a special restricted area that says American. Now, a lot of times the American stuff gets into the non-restricted area, and if you're not American, good luck to you. We have all of your emails and web searches, period. They go on to explain, that means Americans' personal emails can live in government computers, but analysts can't access, read, or listen to them unless emails become relevant to a national security investigation. So they have them, they have our info, American citizens' info. All those things you did online, they have it. They're just saying, for the moment being, we're not going to access them unless it's a national security investigation. Well, the AP explains, well, things can change. The government doesn't automatically delete the data, officials said, because an email or phone conversation that seems innocuous today might be significant a year from now. In other words, hey, man, we got the stuff. If we ever suspect you of anything, and look, they now call war on drugs a national security issue. They sometimes call them terrorists. Are you involved in the war on drugs somehow? Did you ever smoke pot? National security investigation. I have everything you've ever done online. I could use it to smear my opponents. I mean really dangerous people that are important to national security. They have all of our stuff online, confirmed by the Associated Press. They're storing it. They haven't used it yet. Yet. But as Snowden said, it's just a matter of policy. Next time a president decides he's got a different policy, doesn't matter. He can use it. He'll say, well, it was legal. It was constitutional. Cheney agreed. Obama agreed. All sides agreed. Sad day for you. Now I'm going to take everything you've ever done online and use it as a tool against you. This is how you get Big Brother. And one analyst, Wolf Ruzicka, who is CEO of East Bank Technologies, put it perfectly. He said, I cannot think of anything outside of a face-to-face conversation that they could not have access to. If this isn't Big Brother, where they've collected all of your phone records and everything you've ever done online and they're storing it somewhere, what's Big Brother? This is exactly what Big Brother means. Welcome to 1984.
Welcome to 1984, George Orwell's fantastic novel. It was not supposed to be a blueprint for how to do things. It was supposed to be a warning. And so you know, I'm spending a lot of time on this because I think it's important, and I just want people to understand what's going on with this NSA and the wiretapping and the hoovering, J. Edgar hoovering and vacuuming of all your information to be used against you down the road. You need to know about this, and you need to, you know, open your eyes and not support it. And next time the elections come around and you only have two imperialist, law-breaking, unconstitutional motherfuckers on the ballot, don't vote for either one, you know. Oh, what will that do? Well, you know what? How about this? How about if enough people don't vote, then they're not legitimate. There's country after country where the people got fed up with the bullshit. They didn't go to the polls. 3% turnout, 7% turnout, 14% turnout, and the government was so crippled by it because they weren't governing in the interest of the people. The people recognize it. They said, we're not supporting it. We're not going to vote for you. And they had no legitimacy. And that's one of the ways that you change things. So if you can't vote for a socialist or an anarchist or a communist or even a Green Party person, which is still kind of, you know, liberal reformist. But if you can't do that, then your only choices are two imperialists. Stay home. You're not wasting your vote because you don't want to vote for something you don't want. You don't want to vote for something you don't want. Vote for something you do want, even if you lose. And in the meantime, get active, get involved, you know, tag your it. Find some radical organizations. Find some folks that are standing up for workers' rights, you know, the IWW or whatever, if there's a trade union. Get out. Find people in your community. Join an anti-capitalist collective. Do a zine. Do something. Support other people in their struggles, the LGBT community. You know, be active, be civilly disobedient. You know, that's the only way to stop any of this. And so that's why I'm spending so much time on this. Glenn Greenwald was on Meet the Press, and I don't have the clip, but, you know, this asshole, David Gregory, hosts Meet the Press, and a bunch of old white people watch Meet the Press every Sunday, thinking that they're going to be informed, right? I'm going to be informed if I watch Meet the Press. Of course, not. And Gregory has the gall to ask Greenwald, well, you've aided and abetted this traitor, this Snowden guy. You know, why aren't you in jail? I mean, just bullshit, just ridiculous. And Gregory's on MSNBC, and he's supposed to be a liberal. And, of course, Greenwald destroyed his argument. Sorry, I don't have the clip. You can find it. Just actually, Acronym TV, really good work. Dennis Traynor Jr. Dennis Traynor Jr. Has a thing called Acronym TV. It's a little video clips, and he also did the documentary on Occupy, which was released about a year ago. But anyway, Dennis, just go to check him out on Facebook. Dennis Traynor Jr. or Acronym TV on YouTube, Glenn Greenwald, Meet the Press, June 23rd. Sorry I don't have a clip, but, it is what it is. All right, I got another little piece, and this is something, because I haven't really talked about it too much, about Turkey. I mean, people are pissed in Turkey. I mean, it started with they're trying to privatize the commons. There's a park downtown and, you know, trees, 200-year-old trees, and, well, the government decides that it's going to, you know, kill the trees, tear it down, so they can put up another fucking shopping mall. Really, because they need another shopping mall, evidently. It started with that, but the police crackdown was way out of proportion. And other people who didn't care about the trees and didn't care about the shopping mall, but do care about police repression and state repression, started joining them. And it just keeps going and going and going. And, millions of people in Turkey. And this is they don't have 300 million people. You know, it's not that big of a, but millions of people are out in the streets, pissed off. And I like this. My friend David Williams from Roundtree 7 and from the Commons Project Network.com. He wrote this little little paragraph that I want to share with you. It's been called Protest Contagion. Protest Contagion. That's where groups in Brazil, because it's going off in Brazil too. Of course, you won't see it on MSNBC or CNN or, you know, any of the corporate media outlets, but where groups in Brazil draw strength from protests in Turkey that gained their strength from the massive uprises in Egypt, Tunisia, etc. None of these people had any connection, you know, no personal connections with each other, you know, around the globe, except for the need to improve their condition, to improve their lives, and really a growing self-awareness of their strength in numbers. A courage increased by seeing others across the world doing the same thing. And this is why governments cannot escape the treatment of the poor treatment of its citizens. The government actions of snooping, spying, arrests, harassment only serve to increase this resolve. Fuck us and we will multiply, so to speak. Yeah, so if a few words and a message get intercepted, well, you know what? A picture tells a complete story. How can they stop the message being delivered, folks, of a picture of a cop beating someone or shooting someone, or a picture of families out on the streets, or a picture of a child starving or sick because they can't afford food or medical care? Or, hey, a video of a million people taken to the streets. This is the contagion. And this is what scares the hell out of those people in power that don't respond to the needs of their people. He's absolutely right. The only thing that scares them is massive amounts of people in the streets. So, again, find people in your community. They're there. Hell, 4 years ago, I didn't know I had anybody that thought the way I thought or was after this kind of stuff or wanted to do what I wanted to do. But you reach out, you use social networking, you find out who's got something going on. Go check them out, this group or that group. You're going to find some really smart, dedicated people. You're going to learn a lot, teach what you know, sense of solidarity. And it starts small. Maybe there's only 15 of you. Maybe there's only four. Maybe there's only two of you. But it starts small and it grows. Never underestimate the power of a couple of really dedicated individuals to change the world. I talked about this many times. It was a paraphrasing Margaret Mead from the 70s. But yeah. I mean, Noam Chomsky, when he was giving his anti-Vietnam War talks in the 60s, I mean, in the early 60s, you know, they had free food, right? And they couldn't get three or four people in a room to give a talk about what's going on, even with, you know, free soup and bread. But over the years, it grew. More people found out about it. The state overreached. They killed a bunch of kids in Ohio, college students, four dead in Ohio, and a couple more in Mississippi State or some other place. And then more and more people joined them. You never know what the spark is going to be. In Brazil, the spark is the privatization of the commons, selling a public park in the downtown area so some assholes can come in and put in more shopping. Because these assholes, all they want to do is sell us stuff. We're just consumers to them, useless eaters and consumers. And there's another thing you can do. You can just stop consuming. Only buy what you need. Only buy what you have to have. Don't let marketing and advertising tell you what you need to have or what you have to buy. You'd be surprised what you can get along without when you stop caring about keeping up with the Joneses. Stop caring about fashion. You can be quite fashionable in a revolutionary way. It doesn't cost you $50 for a shirt or $100 for pants. You don't have to have all the gadgets. You know, just ignore the marketing. If a product actually has to sell, buy airtime to sell you something on the TV machine, it's probably not worth a shit. And by the way, if you're in marketing, kill yourself. Do it. There's no joke here. I love Bill Hicks. If you've never heard Bill Hicks comedy, you should. He was way ahead of his time. Died way too soon, in his 30s of cancer, back in the 90s. But, you know, he's right. You know, just kill yourself if you're in marketing. There's no joke. Other than you being in marketing, trying to get people to buy widgets that they don't need at inflated prices so the billionaires and the killionaires can make more money. Just saying. Just saying. All right, if you're just joining me, it's the Pink of the Bear Show. I was just kind of, I don't know, rambling there. I do that. That's what I do. I've got some more clips coming up, but I want to share this. This is a friend of mine, Lee Burkett, for, I don't know, many years on Facebook, a fellow lefty radical type. And I always enjoy everything. I don't think I've ever shared anything by Lee before, but I like this, and I want to share this with you. And just because. Just because. Oh, I should say, if you want to call in, we've got about 40 minutes left. But if you want to call in, it's 213-816-0357. I know there's not a lot of listeners live at this point because it's midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. But 213-816-0357 if you want to call in and chat about anything that you've heard here tonight. But I want to share this from Lee. Yeah, he says, excuse me. Here's the thing. This old hippie is going to open up. But like Jimmy said, we're just jamming so y'all can go back to sleep if you want. I'm going to go sit at the kiddies table because you grown-ups are way screwed up. You're in a sick and twisted headspace, man. You've staked out a section of the trough directly in front of you, and no matter what kind of shit the man feeds you, you gobble it right up. You've settled, not for what's good, but what's convenient, and you reek of death. You're writing your own eulogy, man. With every compromise, with every apology, every justification, your plastic, elastic morality might let you sleep at night, but your waking hours have become a nightmare. Killing innocent men, women, and children over there is not cool, no matter what flavor the Kool-Aid. Over there is right here, man. They just haven't opened up on you yet. You're way more uptight about your goddamn credit score than you are about all the war all the time. Serial murder by drone, kill lists, poverty, hunger, homelessness. What kind of vibe makes murderers into heroes and traitors into role models? You got banksters writing your last will and testament and you sign on the dotted line. You got chemists whipping up GMO poison for your last meal. You got the man pissing in your coffee and shitting in your bed. They got their probe 18 inches up your ass, and they've convinced you it's all cool, see? If you got nothing to hide, then you got nothing to sweat. And they got their pigs in the streets. And you've forgotten that the streets belong to us. They protect and serve the way a snake doesn't eat a mouse until it's hungry. You've lost your sense of wonder, man. You've lost your sense of outrage. And I don't want to hear any more about the way things are. I want to hear how things could be. I want to groove with the minds that are starting up, not shutting down. I want to smell the stink of fear and flop sweat. I don't want to hang with people who are trying to save the broken machine. Neither do I, Lee Burkett, neither do I. Not in the least. Not in the least. Not in the least.
So why do you think I should work for the National Security Agency?
Well, you'd be working on the cutting edge. You'd be exposed to the kind of technology that you wouldn't see anywhere else because we've classified it. Super string theory, chaos math, advanced algorithms.
Code breaking.
Well, that's one aspect of what we do.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is what you do. You guys handle 80% of the intelligence workload. You're 7 times the size of the CIA.
We don't like to brag about that, Will. But you're exactly right. So the way I see it, the question isn't, why should you work for the NSA? The question is, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? That's a tough one. But I'll take a shot. Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, and maybe I break it, and I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army in North Africa or the Middle East, and once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices, a cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work. He can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids. And meanwhile, he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better. I figure, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I can be elected president.
Yeah. If you don't recognize that, that's a scene from Good Will Hunting. What, 15 years ago? In the 90s, mid-90s, maybe 17 years, I don't know how many years ago it was. That's from Good Will Hunting. He's a really smart kid approached by the NSA, going to work for the devil. And of course he doesn't, because he knows better, because he stands for something. What do you stand for? You're going to go to work at McDonnell Douglas and make bombs? You're going to go to work... You're going to go to work, I don't know, putting on a uniform and carrying a rifle and killing brown, innocent people. Maybe yellow people soon. It's all about choices. Yeah, you got to work, right? You got to eat. And yeah, those jobs, those contractor jobs, those military industrial complex jobs, they pay more. But they're immoral. Make a choice. What kind of person do you want to be? I like Edward Snowden, one of his recent quotes. All I can say right now is the U.S. government is not going to be able to cover this up by jailing or murdering me. Truth is coming, and it cannot be stopped. He's exactly right. How about something non-political? It's time for a musical break on the Pink of the Bear Show. Don't go away.
It's the evolution of Kentucky over the decade. Starting in 1910.
And with beginning.
We are. Let's breathe the fire and our guns. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to have fun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky.
Present has no rebound.
Ah, oh, the
your gift keeps on giving.
Yeah.
But what if this I'm feeling? It won't leave them with it.
With the Pinko the Bear Show. Actually, just up late with the Pinko the Bear Show. Midnight Pacific Trific Time.
Salut, les moustiques, et déjà merci pour les 10 000 vues sur ma chaîne YouTube. Pour faire le clip de cette chanson, j'ai besoin de vous.
Eh
oui, même toi, là.
No. That's the, that's a French guy with a YouTube channel. He decided to do Get Lucky by Daft Punk through the decades, and then he went to explain it in French. I don't speak French, but I get it, so we didn't need to hear that. But anyway, it's up late with Pinko the Bear, midnight Pacific, terrific time. Glad to have you here. Chat room is open. Hey, we only got one person there. A couple other folks stopped by, but nice to have you, a guest number 10, whoever you may be. By the way, when you come to BTR, to the chat room, you can make an account. You can make a BTR account. It takes like 2 minutes. Just select a screen name and make a password and give them an email and hit the confirm button in your email. And then you can use the full chat functions. You can talk to everybody in the chat room when the show is live and for about 10 minutes after the show as well. The chat room stays open until BTR does maintenance about 3:10 in the morning. But or no, 2:10 in the morning Pacific time. But at any rate, good to have you here. So it's a little clip heavy tonight. I'm not ranting as I normally do. I've been a little under the weather, as you might can tell from my voice and what's going on. But anyway, yeah, you know, that reminds me, this Daft Punk song, you know, up all night, and I like to do the show late. I'm a vampire, man. Welcome to the Vampire Nation. I worked in the nightclub business for 20 years, actually probably 22 years. I like it at night. I like the loose structure of working nights. Currently driving a taxi cab at night, 4 nights a week, DJing 2 nights a week, and doing the show 1 night. I like it, and I've never bought into this the early bird gets the worm bullshit, or you know, early to rise, you know, keeps a man wealthy and wise, or whatever. I just the whole Protestant work ethic. Well, they lost me on Protestant because don't tell me about a work ethic based on Christian values or any kind of dogmatic religion bullshit. So I've just never been a fan of that. And which reminded me of about this. Here's another little piece from Jeff Mincy. No, my fellow Americans, no. Contrary to what you have been indoctrinated to believe, rising early in the morning is not a cause for pride. It's not a measure of your high moral integrity. And you know what? Sleeping late in the morning, or early afternoon in my case, is not a cause for shame or a cause or a measure of your depravity or your lack of discipline. Getting by on a lack of sleep, and this is what a lot of people do, getting by on a lack of sleep does not mean that you're strong and tough. It only means that you've bought into the myth that jeopardizing your health and toiling around the clock to put profits into the pockets of your rich employer is somehow a noble and praiseworthy act. Going without sleep as a capitulation to social pressure reveals not a strength of character, folks, no, but rather a weakness of character. It reveals that you have a lack of fortitude and moral courage. And then judging others for their refusal to join you in this mindless conformity means only that you are a good little soldier in the capitalist army. Jeff Mincy on the Think of the Bear Show. 213-816-0357. If you would like to call, talk about it. Theme song from Billy Jack from the, I don't know, like 72. Do you remember the American Indian Movement, AIM? then there was a couple of movies, kind of B movies. But I was a kid, man. I was, you know, what was I? 13, 12, 13, 14. And I was watching these movies, didn't really know anything about the Indian movement, but I, you know, from the movies, I understood that the Indians got screwed over by the white man. And there are people who fight for social justice and fight for what's right. And in the movies, Billy Jack was one. The Karate Guy. He could kick Chuck Norris's ass. But, yeah, I love that song. I know it's cheesy, but I love it. I love it. I love it. Anyway, so, you know, you can spend your life chasing gold, taking other people's stuff by force or by swindle. You can do that if you want. I don't think it's, you know, much of a life. I think it's pretty empty, pretty horrible. But you can do that. Or you can, you know, join a socialist organization, an anarchist, a communist, an anti-capitalist organization, a workers' rights organization. You can get active and get involved. You know, you can get out there. You can do stuff. And I would recommend you do. Even if you're not 100% on board, you know, go. Talk to these people. Ask them what they're all about. You're not going to get informed by watching the corporate media. You're not going to get informed by, you know, not getting out and reaching out to some of these people. Because we're here. It only takes about 10% of the population to make any major change. But it only takes a dedicated few to get that ball rolling. You know, speaking of reaching out, you know, the other day, this was interesting, I got a call. I don't get a lot of calls on my phone. You know, when I'm driving, people call me and say, hey, pick me up. I'm over here or over there. And that's one thing. And, you know, occasionally a relative will call or an ex-girlfriend or something, and we'll chat and catch up. But I got a call the other day from a student at the University of Texas. Now, I graduated from the University of Texas back in the 80s during Reagan's Depression. Remember Black Monday when the stock market went from, I think, 1,600 down to 400? It effectively wiped out all the jobs in banking, you know, all the entry-level jobs. And I was just graduating, so I would have been like a, you know, a loan officer or a credit analyst or something like that. But I was at the McComb School of Business. So my degree is business degree, but my major was finance and real estate. I doubled. But at any rate, so I get this call from the alumni. You know, he's working for the Alumni Association because they want money, right? They want people who made money to give back money and help the next generations of students. And, you know, and I almost hung up on him right away, but I listened to his pitch. I had some free time. I was sitting in my office, actually what I call my studio, which is an old 1985 Southwind motorhome that I bought for Burning Man. And I'm sitting back here, you know, because I kind of use it to get away from the house and the rest of the family. And so I'm back here, and I'm listening to his pitch, and it's kind of pedestrian, you know. He's reading from a script, and when he was done with his pitch, I let him finish. And whatever his name was, you know, Kyle, I don't know, Carl, whatever. I was like, look, so here's the deal. I'm a pinko commie socialist anarchist type. I'm an anti-capitalist. I work every day, you know, in some little way to fight the kind of bullshit that you're trying to propagate here. I'm trying to fight the system that you think is so good. I took the time. I mean, I was very nice. I'm a little sharp tonight. I know I'm a little tired. I'm a little aggravated. Maybe I sound a little angry, but you know, but I was very nice to him. I took the time to explain some of the evils of capitalism, how finance capitalism or finance capital is killing and oppressing human beings, regular human beings, people who have families and aspiration, hopes and dreams, people who bleed and cry and, you know, have gallbladder surgery, people, just normal human beings trying to survive and, you know, maximize their pleasure and minimize their pain, and how finance capital and capitalism in general hurts these people all around the planet. And I wanted to, and went on to talk about undischargeable student debt. And he told me he was $40,000 in debt. He might be $60,000 by the time he graduates. But, you know, he says, well, the promise is that I'll get a job and that job will be able to pay that off and everything will be good. And we had a discussion about that. And he was not convinced, but at least he heard me out. And then we talked about, he mentioned Obamacare. And, well, I guess you're against Obamacare. I said, well, of course I am. Not because I'm against healthcare for people, but I'm against a system that is not healthcare as a human right, a universal single-payer system where, you know, everybody who needs healthcare gets healthcare. And he says, well, what about your taxes? Your taxes will go up. And I said, well, you know what? Taxes are the price you pay for living in a civil society. And I would rather pay a little bit more in taxes so everybody could get the health care that they need and deserve, rather than having them, you know, not get treated until they're stage 4 cancer, and then it's, you know, a no-win situation, and the prices are through the roof anyway. I mean, you pay one way or the other. And I explained to him when we were talking about student debt, about education is a human right. And how many other nations, industrialized first world nations in this world, have free education through the PhD level if they can make the grades. He was unaware of that. He actually told me, he said, I'd never heard anybody say any of these things before. And he was actually intrigued. He was like, really? You're telling me stuff I've never heard? Because, you know, he's a college student. I think he said he was a junior. He had 2 more years to go, right? But he had never heard any of these things before, particularly not from an alumni from the business school, right? I think there's probably very few radicals that came out of that system, because when you're in the system, you're a fish in a bowl. You're the last. The fish is the last to know that he lives in a bowl, right? But there's so much more to life than the bowl. And we had a really nice conversation. And I didn't convince him that I was right, but I asked him about Chomsky and Zinn, and had he ever read or listened to any? He didn't even know who they were. But by the end of the conversation, I got him. He said he would promise. He promised to at least look up Chomsky on YouTube and watch some YouTubes and listen to the man and see if he made any sense. But of course, he continued to try to sell me on the idea that, you know, that I should send a couple of bucks to the school because the kids need the money for, you know, scholarships and such. I told him that, you know what, I don't send the money to that. I do my helping in other ways, you know, whether it's feeding the homeless with the Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality on Saturdays or, you know, giving a cigarette to a homeless guy that approaches me, or 50 cents or whatever when I'm out working, or buying lunch for someone who can't afford it, whatever it is. I do it in other ways, through the radio show, through my Facebook posts. But giving money to kids that need an education, I'm like, no. You kids need to organize and start protesting that your education should be free. And I explained how higher education used to be free in California in the 50s and 60s. The whole California system was free. And of course, Reagan became governor, and his famous quote is, well, why should I educate them for free if they're going to be against my policies? You know, Reagan, of course, you know, he's famously said that if we passed Medicare and Medicaid, we would have to face our children and tell them how we, you know, let them down, and now that we're a socialist country and we've just gone downhill and ruined everything. But he had never heard that either. He had never heard any of the things that I was talking about. And perhaps some of you listening on Blog Talk tonight, if you just like randomly came in here because there aren't too many shows on at this hour, maybe you haven't heard these things either, but they're all true, factual, incontrovertible. Facts are facts. This is not an opinion show for the most part. But anyway, he kept trying to sell me on the idea to at least send, I graduated in 87, hey, could I send $19.87? So he was trained properly in sales. And I told him, I said, look, man, if finance, because he was a finance major, if finance doesn't work out for you, dude, you know, at least you've got a career in sales ahead of you because you've got the basics. So that was kind of an interesting call. Just one of those things that happened to me this week, and thought I'd pass that along. Not just for the story, but just this is how you plant the seeds. A lot of people aren't trying to hear the message that me and my fellow lefty leftists are putting out there. They're not ready to hear the message, but you know, if you get somebody that will at least listen, they don't have to agree with you right away. You don't have to, you know, transform them right now into a red, but get them to think about things. Why isn't it the human right? Oh, what do you mean? Other countries don't have a pay or die healthcare insurance system? What do you mean? You get them to start thinking about this stuff. I mean, we live in an information age, though we're drowning in ignorance. But, you know, they know how to use the Google machine, and they can find it. The information is out there. The truth is out there, right? So if you get a chance to talk to an alumni student calling you, or you know, your crazy uncle at dinner, or just a random person at a bar, or maybe not the grocery store because you don't really talk to other people in the grocery store, but wherever you are, your church, or wherever you are, civic groups that you're in, maybe you play bunco with the blue hairs or pinochle on Thursday afternoons. I don't know. But have the conversations. Ask them the questions. Put out some facts and ask them the questions. Agitate. That's the word for it. It's called agitating. Don't even have to piss them off. It's not that kind of agitating. But just ask the questions. Do you think it's okay that the president has the power to assassinate any human being on the planet, including U.S. citizens, without a proper trial and evidence and a conviction and a sentence? Do you think it's okay that if you're too poor to afford health insurance that you just don't get that cancer stage one treatment that can save your life? Do you think it's okay, you know, that children, that we've got 1 out of 4 children that are officially in the poverty, under the poverty line? Do you think it's okay? I mean, just there's so many different questions you can ask people, and you get. Honestly, people, when you ask them these questions, and don't use the words socialism or anarchism or communism or anything like that, just ask them the questions about just basic fairness and get them to think about it. And I think most people really are libertarian socialists at heart, unless the propaganda has just gotten to them and they're just, you know, just take it on faith that lower taxes is better for the economy and all, you know, rising tide lifts all boats and all this bullshit, trickle down works, whatever. But I think you'd be surprised how many people really would get this stuff if they thought about it and if they were asked about it in a proper way. That's why I like this song so much. Why Am I an Anarchist by ABC, the ABCs of Anarchy. Because he asks all the right questions. Well, he answers questions in the song that people ask. Why are you an anarchist? And he's got answers. So I want you to listen to this. We're coming into the last few minutes of the show. Every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, midnight, Pacific time, the Pico the Bear Show. Tell your friends about it. Remember, sharing is caring.
Why am I an anarchist? Because old age pensioners eat dog food. Because single moms on welfare cry. Because politicians steal our future. Because women can't walk the streets safely. Because I want to breathe fresh, clean air. Because hope, freedom, and dignity are never on special at Walmart. Because capitalism is a scam.
Show. We're right at the end of the show. A couple of housekeeping things once again I want to mention. So you can find conservative aggregators of media. You can find liberal aggregators of media. A few friends of mine from the Roundtree 7, the blog, Roundtree 7, the number 7, and also the Facebook page. A few of us have shows and write, and we decided that it would be a good idea if we put together a website that had just a hub, a place where all pinko, commie, anarchists, lefty, leftist types, anybody that's out of the pseudo, the fake left-right paradigm kind of thinking politically, could post all their content, all their shows, all their blogs, their short stories, whatever. We've got about 7 participants right now, and I won't list them all again. I did them at the top of the show. But it's thecommonsprojectnetwork.com, TCPN, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. And big kudos to David Williams for doing the webmastering stuff for us and setting it all up. We post our shows. Most of the shows are on BTR. There's some YouTube channels. Some of the shows will be there live on a YouTube stream and then posted for podcast. My show, Pinko the Bear Show, hosted by Here Be Monsters on BTR, will be up there usually within 24 hours of the end of the show. Though I may have had some problems the last week or so, I did not post one from a week ago. Well, I've been a little busy working as a wage slave, but actually I'm working now as a cab driver, so it's not nearly as bad as working, say, in a factory. Benefits aren't as good, but there are trade-offs. I don't have a boss breathing down my back. I'm kind of an independent contractor. I enjoy the interactions with people. I'm actually writing a column. If you join my Facebook page, my real name, Brad Holhut, in parentheses, A Bear, thus Pinko the Bear, you can check me out on Facebook there, or go to my Facebook show page, The Pinko the Bear Show. And I've got a column that I'm writing. It's called Scenes from the Toaster. I drive a Scion. It's a little square toaster-looking car. And I drive at nights, on all the drinking nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. Really, 6 a.m., but I quit about 5. And it's interesting, the kind of people you meet. Totally non-political, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Scenes from the Toaster, a little slice of people's lives and humanity and what's going on with people who need rides. The best ones obviously come at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. But anyway, Scenes from the Toaster. So like my page, the Pinko the Bear Show page, share it with your friends, even if they're still, you know, not totally radical yet. Share it with your other friends. I'm trying not to be a dick to them, because I was one of them before. I've been a conservative, I've been a liberal, I've been a independent, but I am where I am now, and I'm pretty comfortable in this lefty leftist world. And I think I'd like to have more of you over here sitting with me on the left, and then getting out on the streets with me on the left and putting some pressure on the tyrants that are in office. So anyway, I love you. I love you all. But I do have to go. Tomorrow's another day. And I'll see you next Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, if you prefer it, midnight Pacific time. Technically, it's Wednesday. But until I go to bed, it's still Tuesday night. But love you. Love you all. And now it's time for the lounge version of La Internationale by one Tony Babino, everybody. Tony Babino, he'll be here all week. Please try the beat.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses, arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the forge must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally, and the last fight let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come
come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last flight, let us face.